Welcome, ladies. Every year I look forward to this conference because I see women from all different fellowships. And it's so neat to see all of you. Isn't this how heaven's going to be? I mean, you will see each other forever. And it gives me a chance to see some of my old friends who are attending different churches. I'm really honored today. I've talked to a few that were my mentors that I sat under, and it's just so neat to see them. And it's neat to meet new friends. And I met a new friend, Rita. So I know why God sent her, because she has just been praying for me all this morning. My name is Terry Quiros. I attend this fellowship. A little bit about me, I'm a retired school teacher, elementary. And when Marnie asked me to speak, I wanted to say no, because I wanted to tell Marnie, you don't understand. I only talk to children under the age of 12. Adults are scary. So this is actually my first time addressing adults in such a big venue. But I'm a little nervous, you can tell. But my past, I don't have time to tell you my whole testimony, but just a little bit. I came to the Lord at 34 years of age. I was groomed by this world. I was a woman's liver to the max, even smoking Virginia Slims. So has God's word transformed me? Yes. When I prayed and said, Lord, what can I share with these ladies? He said, just share my word, because that's how I changed you. So my message is just the word of God. Lady, it's true. I haven't attained. When she gave me this, I knew what God wanted me to do this summer. He wanted me to study the mind and the way we think and the stumbling blocks that hold us from becoming what God wants us. So let's pray. Father, we love you and we want to please you, not only by our conduct, but also in our thought life. We surrender our minds to your Lordship. Holy Spirit, illuminate your word, be our teacher, and guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our theme is think on these things, and our theme is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Before I expound on our key verses, I want to set the foundation of this study by reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So in these verses, God is commanding us to love him with our mind, which means our thought life. In Philippians, Paul is addressing fellow believers. He is wrapping up his letter in chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 by saying, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Already in chapters 1 through 3, he has addressed their conduct and their character. I want to highlight just a few verses found in Philippians chapters 1 through 3. Chapter 1, verse 10 says, "For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return." Verse 11, "May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God." Verse 27, "Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news of Christ." Chapter 3, verse 5, "Remember, the Lord is coming soon." And verse 20, "But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. Paul had a spiritual mind, and he looked at things of heaven, of earth, from heaven's point of view. He also possessed a singleness of mind. He lived for the gospel, and God entrusted him to care for the brethren. Philippians 1:3 in the New Living Translation says, "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God." His thoughts were turned constantly to his fellow brethren. We too can follow his example. In our typical day, the names of people cross our minds of family and friends. How often do those thoughts provoke us to take the time to thank God for them? Paul developed a habit of thankful recollection. He was grateful to God for the people God had placed in his life. Do you know this simple practice can transform the way we think about people? We can take their names to God in prayer with a grateful heart, thanking him for all the good that is in them. You might be thinking, well, what about the people who come to our mind who have hurt us or disappointed us or are just plain unlovely to us? Jesus said in Matthew 6:44, "I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Ladies, in order to fix our thoughts, we must acquire a daily discipline of renewing our minds. It takes training. Romans 12:2 in the NLT version states, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ." Our thought life is a battlefield. We need to submit our mind to the will of God. Colossians 3:1-2 reads, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden in Christ, in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Philippians 2:16 reads, "Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain." Sisters, do you see a pattern running through these verses? The Lord, our bridegroom, is coming for us. We are to fix our thoughts on his return. Are you praying for his return? Revelation 22:20 says, "Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." In Philippians 4:8, Paul gives a list of attributes we are to meditate on. As I was studying these verses and reading through various commentaries, I came across Vernon McGee's thoughts on these words. I quote, "Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, has been called the briefest biography of Christ. Jesus is the one who is true and never lies. Whatsoever things are honest, in Jesus there is no guile. Whatsoever things are just, he is called the just one, who will judge the living and the dead. He is altogether lovely and noble and of good report. He is worthy of all praise, honor, and glory." You see, we are to meditate and ponder the attributes of Jesus. Jesus is our first love and passion. He should consume our thought life. How do we do that? By reading his word. The world we live in is dirty. We need a sanctuary. We find it in the word of God. Besides reading, we need to still our hearts before the Lord by worshiping and praying to him. In getting back to our key passage in Philippians 4:8-9, Paul encourages us to think upon what is noble. We are daughters of the King of Kings. Jesus is royalty. Revelation 19:6 says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." As we enter into worship, we are acknowledging his nobility. Whatever things are true, John 14 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." All of God's word is truth. Whatsoever things are just, Isaiah 45:21 says, "Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no other God beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me." Zephaniah 3:5 reads, "The Lord is righteous in her midst. He will do no unrighteousness. Every morning he brings his justice to light. He never fails." John 5:30 states, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Whatsoever things are pure. To be pure means uncontaminated, unpolluted, without malice or treachery or evil intent, honest and guileless. Psalm 12:6, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Proverbs 35 says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him." Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." Whatsoever things are lovely, beautiful, splendid, and magnificent. In Song of Solomon 5:16 is a description of our bridegroom. "His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend." Whatsoever things are excellent. This is speaking of moral excellence. Job 37:23, "As for the Almighty, we cannot find him. He is excellent in power, in judgment, and abundant justice. He does not oppress." Psalm 8:1 states, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens." Whatsoever things are worthy. Revelation 5:9, "And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood." Psalm 18 says, "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised." Revelation 4:11, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." As you look into the Word of God and study his attributes, you will find the list is endless. Your mind will be so saturated with truth and light, the dark places of your mind will have to flee. I promise you, ladies, as you meditate on Jesus, your thought life will be transformed. Remember, we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you take your eyes off Jesus, this secular world we live in will deceive you and wear your mind down, and it will bring chaos into your life. Psalm 119:37 says, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." Guard what you watch on TV. Nowadays, it's guard yourself from Facebook, chat rooms, celebrity gossip, and certain unwholesome internet websites. There is a price to pay. It will send leanness to your soul. It feeds the flesh and the carnal mind. These negative thoughts are stumbling blocks in our walk with the Lord. I will just go over a few of them. The first one is anxious thoughts. Anxiety begins in our emotions. It's a feeling of worry, nervousness, dreading a fearful event, or an evil foreboding. Do you know that anxiety disorders in the U.S. are the number one mental health problems among women? There is a saying, anxiety and fear are cousins, but not twins. Fear sees a threat, anxiety imagines one. Anxiety in and of itself is not a sin, but it can lead into sinful behavior. It can lead you to abandon your spouse or your children, or just cause you to flee from your circumstances because mentally you just can't cope. Jesus says in Luke 21:34, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with the anxiety of life. The cure is found in Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Bring it all to Jesus. When you are tempted to worry or be anxious, lift your eyes up to Jesus. Don't get lost in your troubles. Your anxiety will start to decrease as you trust in Jesus increases. Number two stumbling block is fear. The definition of fear is terror, threat, panic, distress, believing someone or something is dangerous. Our mind cannot at the same time be full of God and full of fear. Fear can be paralyzing. It is one of the most dangerous of all emotions. Fear was one of the first emotions man encountered after creation. When Adam took the forbidden fruit, he lamented his loss of security. Genesis 3:10 says, I was afraid. He knew he was estranged from God, and that realization brought fear to his heart. We have all experienced fear at one time or another. How about dreading a fearful phone call, bringing you devastating news? How about fear of your spouse or child dying? Fear of cancer? There are so many what-ifs of life. Do you know the number one fear of children today is mommy and daddy are getting a divorce? This is from a report from a school psychologist. The more you know God's nature and his care for you, your fear will diminish. 2 Timothy 1 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Isaiah 12:2 says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. And this next one, this is my favorite because I lived by this for many, many years. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. Remember, nothing is forever except eternity with Jesus. The darkness will pass. What you feared didn't take place. Or if it did, God was there to walk you during the dark night of the soul. Stumbling block three is anger. Isn't it all around us today? How about road rage, and not to mention all the school shootings and mass killings at venues? Anger can destroy or damage relationships. There is a difference between being angry and remaining angry. It's how we handle anger that determines whether it is right or wrong. Jesus displayed righteous anger when he overturned the money changer tables. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. What are some of the issues of life that can cause us to burst out in anger? Stress produces anger. It's when we compress too much into too short of a span of time. After we explode, we feel guilty and we get upset with ourselves for losing it. Frustration produces outbursts of anger. failure in your marriage, failure to get a promotion at work, failure in budgeting your finances, and other such irritations produce anger. We feel our lives are out of control. Oftentimes, we see our dreams shattered. How about this one? Personal affronts, people who just get in your face. You become angry when you are targeted unjustly. Then there is the violation of your rights, which produces anger. To us who are married, we expect certain things of our husbands and vice versa. When our expectations are not met, our irritation turns into anger. If we feel it's an attack on our person, we think to ourselves, I'm not going to be a doormat and let him walk all over me. So we stand up for our rights and we fight back with our tongue. James 3 says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. We may win the argument, but possibly eventually we might lose our spouse. Instead, we need to put into practice James 1, 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Learn to stop and pray for God's wisdom, which he freely gives. Ephesians 4:26 reads, be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. If you hang on to your anger, it can lead you to stumbling block number 4, bitterness. Bitterness is unforgiving anger and disappointment of being treated unfairly. It is resentment. What is a bitter person like? They desire to make someone else suffer. A bitter person might spew their inner hurt and anger by saying and doing things that hurt the feelings of others, exhibiting ruthless verbal and emotional cruelty. If something didn't go your way and you just can't accept the outcome and you can't move on, your emotions keep you imprisoned. A bitter heart finds no peace like a forgiving heart. This damaging emotion causes stress and can lead to unhealthy physical illnesses. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15 reads, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Remember what Jesus said, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Remember, you are a new creature in Christ. The old has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. stuck. You want to live a victorious life. You want to be an overcomer. Remember, he is coming soon. Look up. Your redemption draws near. Finally, I will end with verse 9 of Philippians 4. Practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and model your way of living on it. And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. I encourage you to study the life of Paul. Read his epistles. You have God's promise of his peace dwelling in your heart. Don't we all want peace in these days that we are living in? You will bring glory to him by the way you live your life. You will be a light on a hill in this dark world. Your mind will be in harmony with God's will. You will be able to discern his voice guiding you. His wisdom will be available to you every moment of every day. I will close with a verse taken from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because she trusts in you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. It does set us free, Lord. And I pray for myself and all these ladies, Lord, that you would continue to do your work in us, Lord. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. And we ask you, Lord, to transform our minds, to take all these truths, Lord, that we have listened to today from all the speakers, Lord, and that you would help us, Holy Spirit, apply it to our lives, Lord, so that we will bring you glory by the way, not only the way we act and conduct ourselves, but in our way of thinking, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.